Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight, the place where we learn of God. We're empowered for 15 minutes in the process of there. And the process of there is the place that God has called us, and He has called us to Him. Regardless of any title, regardless of any position, we've been called to Him, to God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, as the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, so that the presence of God will be dwell inside of us. We've been called to serve, to love, to adore, to obey, to show the goodness and the greatness of God in the earth, so that the world might know that our God lives, as we defeat the enemy, as we live in such a way that we command the enemy of this world to bow to the authority of Jesus Christ. So it is an awesome responsibility and pleasure and honor to be called by God, to be named among His people, and to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Everybody's name is not written, but thank be unto God who calls us to triumph, the same God who calls us to win, the same God who's called us unto Himself to a purpose and a plan that is greater than anything that we could ever imagine in our lifetime. And it is a life that brings glory, honor, and praise to Him. So I'm so thankful and grateful that God has called and chosen us for such a time as this. We've been looking and studying people in the Bible, not seeing them as superhuman Christians, not seeing them as someone that is so great and so endowed with the Spirit and the knowledge and the anointing of God that they're just beyond us. But these are ordinary people. The Word of God lets us know that Elisha was a man just like us. So that lets us know that God uses ordinary people. He chooses unlikely candidates, those that everybody else probably would never choose, and you probably would never choose yourself, to do something for the glory and the work of God. And when He calls us, He does not always tell us, and He never tells us everything. He tells us enough to get our attention, to let us know He's taking us somewhere, to let us know that He has a purpose and plan in our life that's greater than where we've been, our mistakes, our failures, and even what we would do. And since we know Him, His plan and His purpose is greater. Because when we study the people in the Bible, we see that they didn't always obey God, did not always do what He said, did not always follow the instructions, but it did not refute the plan of God, because the Word of God was settled and established in the heavens before the beginning of time. And God was able to cover the multitudes of their sins and their failures through the blood of Jesus, because He saw His Son already crucified in His mind before the foundations of the world. And because the Word of God is powerful enough that not even your sin and our sins and the world's sins can stop the will of God. How do we know? Because we see that in the book of Genesis. After the fall of man, God comes back because He already knew that man was going to fail. Nothing catches God off guard. He knows the way that we take. He knows the very hairs on our head, and anything that will ever occur in our life, He already knows, has already provided a way of escape and provision. He's not sitting in heaven scratching His head, trying to figure out how He's going to bring you out. He's already done it. It's already been provided. So when God made the announcement to the serpent that there will be a seed that would bruise the enemy's head, the enemy knew that the Word of God would come to pass. He knew that God was not a liar. He knew that God's word was surely manifest. So He went through, and as you look through time, look through the scriptures, and we see through Genesis all the way up until Jesus, He looked for the seed. He looked for that seed that was going to be righteous, that was going to bruise His head. That's why He set up people with the spirit to kill and to murder the promised seed. And we see that with the in the Egyptians, where the king, Pharaoh himself, killed all the male children. We see that again as we see them trying to kill the children of Israel, even in the day of Jesus. Herod tried to do it. And so we see that spirit trying to kill the promise, trying to kill the seed. Even when we see it in the book of Kings, we see that even the prophets, that the enemy hates the mouthpiece of God, because he knows that we speak directly to and speak the life of God. We speak to the people, God's will, God's divine plan, his word, his life, his truth, even his judgment. And so the enemy does not like that exposure because it is life and it is light. So we see that anywhere there has always been a deliverer or God's plan or those purpose, the enemy always tries to assassinate the plan by trying to murder or kill the carrier of what God has placed his purpose inside of. But as I said before, thanks be unto God who causes us to triumph. And sometimes we don't even understand how God causes us to triumph, but we win in spite of the circumstance, in spite of the enemy, and in spite of ourselves. We win for the glory of God, for Jesus has already conquered. He's already won. He's already triumphed, and we're walking in that which is already done, doing it. It's a set race. It's a set arena, and all we're doing is showing up by faith in the name of Jesus, knowing that it's already done, it's already taken care of, that we're going to triumph, we're going to win, we're going to overcome, because he who had already gone before us, who's the firstborn of many, has already triumphed, has already won for us, and it is in his name that we stand complete. So I am so grateful for this time, and we're going to talk just a few minutes about, again, about trusting the Lord. We talked about it last week, but we're going to talk a little bit about it again today. Trusting in the Lord. This place of trust is a place of confidence. We were coming out of the book of Daniel, and we were talking about how Daniel, in the 9th and the 10th chapter, he was waiting on God. He went to God concerning the people of Israel, the children of Israel, and that the word that was spoken by Jeremiah. He knew that God's word was settled, it was established, and God cannot lie. So he went to the word about the word concerning the people of God. But what I like about this, he talks about the 70 years, but Daniel earnestly begins to pray and talk to the Lord and lets us know that even in that there was a time frame, there was a limit that God had allowed for affliction for the people of children of Israel. That lets me know that there's a season that God has commanded for our lives that we endure, that we go through, that we face some things that are going to transpire even in the world. There's a season for everything. The Bible lets us know that there's a time, there's a purpose, there's a season for everything under the sun, that God uses seasons and times in our standpoints to maneuver and to do certain things. God is an eternity. He only uses time for us. So there are seasons and times that God uses to establish certain things, to open up certain doors, to allow certain blessings or seasons of breakthrough and promise to come. There's even seasons where we're tested. There's seasons of just divine things that happen. Then there are seasons that God has demonstrated and uses for judgment. So we see that there are seasons that God has, but there's always an end to the season. Even when the children of Israel went into poverty because they could not pay their bills, they had a season, a set time, and after that set time, encourages me that no matter what my season is, if it's a season where I'm being tested, stretched, broken, made, a season where I'm walking by faith, where I'm trusting God, a season where I'm praying earnestly and I'm seeing the salvation of the Lord in that marriage, in those children, those grandchildren, in that business, in that home, in that ministry, in your physical body, your finances, whatever it is, and you're going through this season, whether it's long or short, whatever it is a season, it's going to end. And that season has a time frame. But we have to pray earnestly that the will of God is done, and even for the mercies of God in that, and thanking God, trusting God the whole time, asking God to let us learn whatever it is we're going through. What is it that you're teaching me? What is it that you're showing me? What is it that you're making in me? What is it that you're producing in me? Who am I going through this for, that I might be a blessing to someone else? Because we never go through anything in our life that is not going to be used. The Bible says in the book of Peter that everything that we go through for the sake of Christ will not be wasted. So if we're going through this test and this trial or this season where we're moving by faith and moving by trusting God and understanding that this is not the end, this is not our expected place, this is not the place of promise, but it's a season. And we're going through that, and we're going through it with the attitude that says, God, I'm going to trust you, I'm going to believe you, you're good, I will believe the report of the Lord in spite of the circumstances. Guess what? You're going through something for the sake of Christ. Something in you is being crucified. Something in you is being purged. Something in you is being made, and you're doing it to look like Him. So it's not going to be wasted. It's going to be used for the glory of God. He's going to get glory out of it as long as you stay in the right posture, in the spirit, right mindset. Thanksgiving, thanking God in spite of it. Your flesh may not like it, but guess what? Your faith muscles are being stretched. Everything in you will trust and obey God and bear the fruit of righteousness, looking like Jesus, the character of Jesus, which is power, looking like Him in the earth, so that we can show them that our God is greater still beyond, knowing that, that it's all working for our good. It's being mixed together for our good. Every ingredient for what we're going through is going to be mixed together for good and produce only what God says. If we stand steadfast, unmovable, abiding, living, remaining in the place of the will of God, in that place that is good and perfect, can't get what God says unless our mind is renewed so that we can prove what is good and perfect. As long as our mind is not renewed, as long as we're in a place where we're not venturing into the presence of the Lord, our mind cannot be renewed with the word, the presence of God. Therefore, we cannot live in the atmosphere of the sphere of the spirit in the heavenly realm to receive and see what is good and perfect, knowing that even in the midst of the trial, even if God shows you this is going to end at this point and I'm going to do this, we can still prove that it's good and perfect. This is your will, God. And as long as it's your will and I'm going through it for your will and for your glory, I can do it because you're in the fire with me. You're right there with me. You're going through it with me. I'm not in this thing alone. The Holy Spirit's there. You're there. And you're not going to let this thing overtake me. You're not going to let me fall, because falling in the midst of this trial, giving up in the midst of this trial, letting go in the midst of this trial, letting the enemy overtake me in the midst of this trial would mean that you didn't have the power to deliver and keep me. And I know you're not that kind of God, because if you could keep Israel and you kept them when they came out of the wilderness, and you kept them, even the ones who did not want to be kept, you allowed them to see your goodness and you raised up another generation. If you're willing to do that, able to do that, and they provoked you, surely you're able to keep me and let me endure this thing and win the victory. So whatever it is for the glory of God, stay in the posture that is good. Daniel had to stay in the posture of steadily praying and fasting for his people, because he knew that 70 years was a long time for them to endure, and some of them will get weary, some of them will faint, some of them will give up hearts, some of them will think that God had left them, deserted them. So he began to pray and fast earnestly, seeking after God, knowing that God is able to change his mind. And what the Lord let me know into that, in that experience, is that there are certain things that God has set up, because he's all-knowing, all-wise God. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows what things are going to transpire and happen. But he set up certain people to pray, and their prayers changes things. Their prayers will change certain circumstances. It will alter things. It will usher in what God says in spite of it. That he set up those who will be willing and obedient, those who will call on the name of the Lord, those who will earnestly pray and intercede, and it changes things that will happen because of the prayers of the righteous that avail. There are people that God has set up just for prayer and intercession, for praying at certain times, for fasting at certain times, for being in the place to be a witness at a certain time. He set them up to alter and to change someone's life or situation. I don't know if you're that person that God is leading to do certain things, but be led of the Spirit of God and do it, because God is getting ready to change something, alter something by your prayer, by your faith, by your agreement, by your obedience unto his will. As even Daniel was studying the word, and he saw what was getting ready to happen to the children of Israel. But he earnestly believed that this had to change for the children of God, and began to pray and heard the instructions of the Lord regarding the children of Israel. Whatever it is that God is telling you in your prayer time, in your endurance, in your staying, in your faith, do not give up. Do not get weary. Go through it. Hear the instructions of God. Pray the prayer that's going to bring change. You don't know who's going to affect. You don't know whose life is going to alter. You don't know who's going to come to the kingdom of God because of what you've done, or whose life will be spared because of that. Your prayers avail. They weigh heavy in the spirit to change things in the earth. So don't give up. Don't get weary. keep pressing. Your travail in the spirit is going to move the mountain. It's going to change God's mind. It might do a head start. Give more time to someone else that it said that I don't even know how I'm going to make it. Your prayer might be the answer. So I encourage you that you continue to do it that God says, regardless of what it seems like. Be faithful. Be true unto God. Stand there for what you know and heard about you in truth, knowing that your work is not in vain. Your labors of love are not in vain. I'm Pastor Cheryl Jackson. Thank you so much for joining me for this 15 minutes in empowerment. I hope you've been encouraged, empowered, uplifted, and even getting some instruction, some strength to go on and pursue the things of God in the process of there. Please join me tomorrow as we walk further, go further, and the process is there on Favor Life. God bless you.